You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, and co-hosting this morning, Wayne Majors, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University, here on Relevant Radio.
Good morning.
950 AM.
Everything good?
Doing very well. How are you, Wayne?
Good, actually.
How's your week been?
Yeah, week was good. Week was short because, of course, we were we had a little respite. That's why we weren't here last Friday, because we were in retreat.
On retreat together.
On retreat together in Las Vegas.
Yeah, right. And so plus
where most people do go for retreats, Lisa, in case you didn't know that.
And at the same time, Monday was a holiday. They're expecting very cold weather again this weekend. So if you're going outside, please bundle up and no snow, though. At least that's a positive thing. No snow at all. So welcome to the program on Catholic Community Faith. Our phone number is 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Your phone calls are welcome. We have a tremendous program lined up here this morning. And our first guest is the founder of the Still Point Theater Collective. With us in studio, Lisa Wagner Carollo. And Lisa will highlight one of her current touring productions on the life of Dorothy Day called Haunted by God, The Life of Dorothy Day. Also, there's another production entitled Strong Women, which we can talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Lisa, welcome to a Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, I have to admit that we were fortunate and blessed to have your theater at St. Mary of the Woods last September for the other production, Strong Women. And mm-hmm. I do remember when I saw you, I thought to myself, I've seen you before, even last September, and back in March of 2002, mm-hmm. you performed, because it's a one-woman performance, Haunted by God, The Life of Dorothy Day.
At first he was worried he thought he owed you money.
Did we pay Lisa for that performance?
Right.
She's coming to collect.
And, I'll check the books.
And so, check books. Tell us, how did Still Point Theater Collective begin?
Well, you know, whenever I answer that question, I have to go pretty far back to when I was 5 years old. And my earliest memories of what I would think of for my vocation go back that far. My parents were involved in theater, and my dad was a singer. And so it was always in our household. I was always going to plays. We were always having cast parties at our house. And when I was 5 years old, I remember I asked my dad to gut out the television to make a little puppet theater so I could put on performances for my brother.
I used to do that, too.
No,
I did.
Oh, really?
I really did. My brother and I used to put on puppet shows.
You knocked out the television?
My career went to a totally different direction than yours.
you had to knock out the TV to do that?
Exactly, yeah. So it was really in your family from very young.
Yes, and I put on shows in the backyard. And in fact, in fifth grade, I tried to stage Jesus Christ Superstar in the backyard with all the kids in the neighborhood, but nobody took it seriously, so I canceled the project.
Now, that's interesting because of your theater background with mom and dad.
Yeah, it was really in my bones, and so I just assumed I would be an actor. But when I was 15, I went on a retreat with a church group. A friend of mine invited me. And at that point, it was the first time of my life that I really realized that my faith could be something that would be part of my everyday life, and that it was something that I could gain strength from my everyday, and that I could, you know, have a walk with God just on an ongoing basis instead of every Sunday just going to church. And so I started thinking about going into ministry then. But, of course, I was confused because I wanted to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And then when I got in college, I started feeling a call towards social justice and peace issues. So by the time I got out of college—
No, Lisa, stop right there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you connect from 5 years old with background and puppet theaters and all that stuff, and at the age of 15 going on retreat, and now connecting it to a ministry for the Lord. But then how does the social justice aspect hit you in college or those years? What happened?
Hmm. Well, I'm not.
Was it
really...
was it another retreat? Was it watching the news? Was it realizing that part of the gospel challenge is social justice issues?
Yes, I remember at that time just getting a very strong awareness of the pain and suffering in the world, and really just looking around and, in a way, really waking up to how much suffering there was and how much pain there was, and war and the distress of many nations. And it was, I remember walking around for weeks at a time just feeling really depressed and not knowing what I could do or, you know, how I could help to alleviate this. But the Catholic Campus Center was going to Washington, D.C. to work with the homeless. And so I hooked up with them and became, you know, really convicted about this and knowing that I wanted to integrate this into my life.
So what you do on stage in Haunted by God or Strong Women is really a manifestation of all of this, right?
Yes.
From your very early years.
Oh, yes.
Where did the name Still Point come from?
Well, when I decided to start Still Point, which was about 15 years ago, I looked around and I really saw that it was very difficult, and I still find this, it's very difficult to have a theatrical career, to be a theater artist and not be overworked and not just really burn out. But I knew that the reason I was doing this work was because of my faith, was because of my spirituality. So I wanted to have a name that would remind me to keep coming back to that. And I remember I was at the Holy Cross Monastery on the South Side hearing a talk from a professor from Loyola, actually. And he talked about the still point in each person that could not be violated, where God lived. And I just said that's the name of the company, because I, through the years and through the struggles we have had, I just knew that I wanted to focus on the still point.
What fascinates me is that from your earliest childhood, what you are doing today is living out a conviction of connecting theater with a vocation, with the gift you've been given from the Lord of acting. We all have our different gifts from the Lord, and the key is to then share with the community. And so what you're doing day in and day out is living that conviction through theater. Now tell us, how did you come about, you know, writing Haunted by God, which is, again, the life of Dorothy Day?
Right. Well, it's really amazing how God was working, because I got out of college and couldn't find a way to bring all this together. And I had just heard Jean Vanier, the founder of L'Arche, speak and had been so moved. And I saw how deeply he was living. You know, those are the communities all around the world for adults.
Henry Nouwen was also very touched by
yes.
L'Arche.
Yes, he was up in Daybreak in Toronto, yes. Richmond Hill. So I heard him speak, and I really saw how he was living the gospel, and I knew I wanted to be involved. And my hometown of Overland Park, Kansas, was just then starting a L'Arche community. And so I graduated from college, went to L'Arche, but I really still miss theater.
Maybe explain to our theater listeners, not
our theater audience,
to our our audience via the radio, what is L'Arche?
L'Arche is a community, a Christian community, however they are ecumenical, where adults who are developmentally disabled live with the people who help them. We call ourselves assistants in community and really sharing our lives completely together and sharing in prayer together, sharing meals together. We really live as a family.
And so you were
all
living,
over the
so then
world.
You live with this community of developmentally disabled adults.
Yes.
You did this in Kansas when it was starting. What year was that?
Oh, my, 1987.
Oh, so this is before you came to Chicago in 89.
And I went to a church mission with one of the people I lived with, and we heard a priest tell a story about Dorothy Day. And I was so fascinated and drawn in by that. And so I went to the library and got all these books about her life. And as I began to read about her life, I saw that this was the kind of story that I wanted to tell on stage. I knew that this her life was what I wanted to embody for a theater audience. And about that time, the Call to Action Performing Arts Ministry came through. And I saw that the work that they did, and it was very similar to what I felt called to. So I had an interview and an audition with them. And after the audition, during the course of the interview, the director leaned forward and said to me, "Now we have individual projects that people can work on." And I just started to clear my throat to tell him I wanted to do a play on the life of Dorothy Day, when before I could say that, he leaned forward and he said, "For example, we'd really like someone to do a play on the life of Dorothy Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
fortuitous indeed.
Wow. And I said, oh, no. So I came to Chicago and started working with Robert McClory and Paula Mandis. And we put together the play, and it opened in 1990. So next year will be the 20th anniversary.
We're going to talk about it a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Lisa Wagner-Carollo is our guest. She is the founder and actress of Still Point Theater, and we'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you're a young person aged 13 to 30, you're invited to the Bread of Life Retreat. It's scheduled for February 27th to March 1st at St. Benedict's Parish on West Irving Park Road in Chicago.
Join hundreds of young people for 3 days of prayer, adoration, singing, and learning more about our Catholic faith. Cardinal Francis George and Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra will be present to celebrate Mass and speak to our youth.
This Eucharistic-centered retreat will transform youth from being passive Christians to being active disciples of Jesus Christ.
Visit our website at www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484 for more information.
That's www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484.
Register today and be part of the Bread of Life retreat that will open hearts and change lives.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. That I'm Father Greg Sagas along with Wayne Majors on Relevant Radio. 9:50 a.m. time is 9:12 on this Friday morning in Chicago before the colder weather is hitting, but this past week wasn't bad for January in Chicago. We have with us the first segment, Lisa Wagner-Carollo, who is the founder of the Still Point Theater Collective and is doing productions at this time, one entitled Haunted by God, The Life of Dorothy Day, has also done Strong Women. Very briefly, before we get into about the life of Dorothy Day, tell us, how was Still Point Theater Collective founded?
Well, I worked for Call to Action for 3 years, and then I was kind of burnt out because I was doing way too much, so I went on retreat on the West Coast for a couple months. And during that time, I really felt a distinct call to continue this work, and so I came back to Chicago and began Still Point Theater.
Lisa, Haunted by God, prominent figure in the Catholic worker movement, Dorothy Day. Mm-hmm. Why her, and what inspired you to tell this story?
Well, Dorothy is a really amazing figure. She was basically raised in a household that was not focused on spirituality, but she felt a real draw towards this from like the age of five when she came upon a friend's mother praying, kneeling at her bed. And she just felt her heart really go out to her. When she was about 14 or 15 years old, she actually was baptized in the Episcopal Church on Fullerton Avenue, at a church right there. And But then as she became more involved with like communist movements, she found herself drawn into religion as the opiate of the people, and she pulled herself away. But the reason that the play is called Haunted by God is because even when she was pulling herself away, she still felt haunted by God. And she would always say that she would come and she'd go into the back of churches and just weep in the back because she wanted this so badly in her life, you know.
No, you get very emotional.
Yeah.
Even regarding the publicity for Haunted by God, your mm-hmm. one-woman play, I love this line. It says, revered as the mother of the peace movement, Dorothy Day, co-founder of the Catholic worker movement, spent 47 years living with the poor and challenging the U.S. government to halt acts of war.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Dorothy Day was not shy, very proactive, and she took on the institution, talking about social justice regarding changing structures.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But now maybe just briefly for some of our listeners, she mm-hmm. seemed to have sometimes run into a brick wall with the Catholic Church.
Mm.
And why?
Well, occasionally she would. Well, in particular, when she was in New York City, Cardinal Spellman at one point called her in and said, we would like you to take Catholic out of the title of the paper. Or sent them a letter, I believe, actually just sent a letter, because a lot of the things that your movement is, you know, she started this movement in 1933 with the French philosopher Peter Maurin, shortly, you know, just about 5 years after her conversion to Catholicism. But Cardinal Spellman said, you know, you're saying things that are not Catholic, so we would like you to take that out of the title of the paper. So they had a gathering at the Catholic Worker House in New York City, and everybody had a different argument about what we should do. A lot of people said, oh, we should just ignore what they say and not do this. But Dorothy really believed that she should just be obedient and let Cardinal Spellman know that they would take it out of the title. So she wrote them a letter. She wrote him a letter and said, we will do as you say. Just let us know when this needs to happen and how to proceed and what our deadline is. And then she never heard anything.
So but, she never took the word Catholic out of the Catholic
no,
movement.
No, no. They never heard anything. So they just kept it in. But, you know, it was very difficult because, you know, a lot of the things that they were saying, anarchy, you know, was a big part of her belief system, even though someone told me she was always the head anarch, even though she believed in anarchy. But
so you've got to look at the time. You're talking 1933, 30s. What's going on in
yes,
our country?
It's a depression.
It's the height of the
right.
depression.
Uh-huh.
And also the rising of Hitler in Germany, that whole movement
yes.
there, which later
uh-huh.
on, of course, we know the history there. So from the time, it was mm-hmm. a very tumultuous time.
Yes, but the church saw that she was helping the poor and she was living the gospel, so there wasn't much that they could say.
What do you know? What do some of the people who, I want to say see, but they really experience mm-hmm. Haunted by God? You've had now a number of years performing this, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've heard from people who have seen it once, twice, three times. What do they say about the experience, in addition to their learning about the life of Dorothy Day and her convictions? What do they come away with? Give us a story or two.
Well, you know, it's interesting because after doing it so many years, I really feel like it's something. I mean, it's a gift that I've been given, so I almost feel like I'm apart from it in many ways.
It's a wonderful ministry.
Thank you. And people say that they're very moved and they're very encouraged and uplifted, which makes me very, very pleased, very happy that I can be a part of that.
Well,
because I really
this.
Feel
you know,
like
Wayne,
I'm a part of it.
I experienced Haunted by God, the life of Dorothy Day, when Lisa came to St. Mary of the Woods back in 2002. At the end of it, I was so enthralled. And what's interesting, when you gave the performance, Lisa, it's almost like you are not you.
Mm-hmm.
You try to take mm-hmm. the focus.
Take on the role, yeah.
Yeah. You
definitely.
Don't take on the role. I don't see Lisa. I'm experiencing Dorothy.
That's wonderful.
Which is a sign of a marvelous actress where you step beside yourself. I got so enthralled and captured by Dorothy Day,
mm-hmm.
I forgot it was Lisa. Lisa, we only have a couple of minutes. Please
sure.
give us a web page, a phone number, upcoming mm-hmm. performances. You have the stage right now.
Sure. over the next three weekends, Still Point has three performances. The next two Sundays at 3 o'clock at the Viaduct Theater on Western Avenue.
So the Viaduct Theater, specifically where on Western Avenue?
3111 Northwestern Avenue.
Okay.
He's got it. Yeah.
I'm impressed, Wayne.
Just south of Belmont.
Yes, we're doing Haunted by God the next two Sundays at 3 o'clock, and it's $15 or pay what you can. So anyone can come, really, truly in the spirit of Dorothy. And then the February 8th, I believe, we're doing Strong Women at 3 o'clock at the same theater.
Okay.
But you can find the information on our website, www.stillpointtheatercollective.org, and that's theater with an R-E.
Okay, so again, www.stillpointtheatercollective.com.
.org. Yes.
And theater with an R-E. What about a phone number?
You can reach us at 773-868-1700.
Once again?
773-868-1700. But there is a different number for reservations, but you can also call us.
And then anyone
out
there who might be thinking of bringing your performance to their church or their school could also find out from the same website how to do that.
Exactly. Okay. I would love to do some performing through Lent, and the next two weekends would be a great time to see the show and see if it would be the right thing for a parish.
And having experienced Lisa and Still Point Theater Collective, I would highly recommend to all of our listeners, parishes, either Haunted by God, The Life of Dorothy Day, or Strong Women, Lisa Magnificent. I want to say thank you for joining us here on Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars. Time is coming up on 9:21 on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Cardinal George tells bishops from across the nation that our society must protect the right to life if the common good is to be served. We'll talk to the Cardinal about the fall meeting of U.S. bishops, and we'll shine a spotlight on Spanish ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago as we highlight recent Hispanic Catholic services and events. Thanks for joining us for this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your archdiocese.
It's time to sign up for Parish Leadership Evangelization Day 2009. It will be held Saturday, February 7th at Maria High School on South California Avenue in Chicago.
Choose from more than 90 workshops presented in English, Spanish, and Polish. Workshops will deal with everyday problems faced by most parishes, raising funds, improving bulletins, increasing participation.
And Cardinal George will once again answer your questions during a lively and entertaining box lunch visit with attendees.
So go to our website at www.archchicago.org for all the details, or call 312-534-8364.
That's www.archchicago.org or 312-534-8364.
If you want to become more active in your parish, Parish Leadership Evangelization Day is the place to be on February 7th.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Wayne Majars and Father Greg Sackwitz with you. Last September, the movie Fireproof hit theaters across the United States. It's the story of a firefighter's attempt to save his faltering marriage. He's pressed by his father to commit to a 40-day Love Dare. It's the story of faith, promise, commitment, and love, but also shows us some of the harsh realities and angers and frustrations between a husband and wife. The movie's been endorsed by Catholic groups around the world and is, in the movie industry, a micro-budget film that did spend 3 weeks in the top 10. Joining us this morning to talk about it is Stephen Kendrick. He is the co-writer and producer of Fireproof. Stephen, good morning and welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me come on the program.
Good morning, Stephen.
Thanks for being with us. Stephen, tell us, where did the idea come from? Because I must admit, I missed it when it came through Chicago, but looking at the website prior to the program this morning, it's an intriguing idea. Tell us a little bit about how it was born.
Sure. My brother Alex and I had made two movies here at our church, Flywheel and Facing the Giants, and Facing the Giants caught fire across the nation, strengthening people's lives of faith through football. And so we started praying for something that would impact the fiber of our culture. And we spent months doing that. And in December of 2005, my brother Alex was jogging, and he was inspired with this idea. And he called me, he said, I think this is of God. He said that we focus in on a troubled marriage, and the father begins to mentor the son, and he challenges him using a book called The Love Dare to study and practice what unconditional love looks like. So that was the nutshell piece, but we realized if we can help build and strengthen marriages in our nation, save dying marriages, it could be huge long-term with what it does for families and for children.
And I think what's important, and not seeing the movie but seeing the trailers, is going into this, and it's going to be available on DVD soon. We'll talk about that as well, how folks can get it. But to look at not only the interaction and relation between the husband and wife, but more importantly, in some cases, the father and the son.
Absolutely. You know, it says in Scripture that parents need to teach their children to love God, and they also need to help them marry the right person. Not that they make that decision before them, but that they are a wise counselor and encourager in their lives. And so you see that father in Fireproof step in, and he really is courageous. He's a bigger champion for Caleb's marriage than Caleb is for himself, you know. And so he steps in, and he provides that steady voice. If we would learn and teach the next generation to do that, that we need to stretch our arms out and across generational lines and help one another, it could be huge long term.
Steve, this is Father Greg Sackwitz. What's been the response of people in feedback to you?
It has been overwhelming. We have thousands of stories that have already been sent to the website, fireprooftheMovie.com. You can click on the story section, and you can begin to read about people all across the nation whose marriages have dynamically been impacted by the movie. Some of them have been divorced for years, and they've now reconciled and are getting remarried after they've seen the movie. Some of them have great marriages, and they say, we've been married for 40 years, but we feel like newlyweds again because we're now beginning to practice what the Love Dare communicates. And we're beginning to learn and study and do what unconditional love calls us to do.
Stephen, out of this has come, in effect, a curriculum or resource materials that have been used around the country as supplements to seeing the movie to help troubled marriages, right?
Yes. In fact, we have over 100 marriage ministries that have jumped on board and have endorsed the movie. They say, this movie, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll enjoy the storyline, but it's as good as going to marriage counseling, you know, for a session. We had a divorce attorney. He said, you guys are going to put us out of business here because the couples that I'm recommending to go see this movie, I'm seeing a big difference in their lives. But we have the Love Dare book that is featured in the movie. It came out when the movie hit theaters. It pre-sold 300,000 copies, which was a surprise to us, even before the movie hit theaters. And now it's been on New York Times bestseller list for weeks. It just communicates that people want to have a good marriage, and they're asking for help to make it happen.
And what is it about that help, Stephen, that really makes the materials and the movie Fireproof really click and resonate with folks who are in troubled marriages?
I think it's a few things. One of them is, like in the Love Dare book, men like the book because it's these short chapters, and there's a dare and a challenge at the end of every day for these 40 days, and that really connects with them. Usually women are the ones reading the relational books, you know, how can I save my marriage, how can I change my husband? The other thing is, we put God back in the center of marriages where he belongs. You know, Scripture says two people can synergize together, but when you have that threefold cord, it's not easily broken. Well, God is that third, that key element. that when he's in the center of a marriage, he helps us to forgive. He helps us to love one another. He helps us to learn what our roles and responsibilities are. And the Love Dare book and Fireproof go back to saying, you know, God needs to be right in the center of that marriage relationship.
You know, Stephen, it's interesting you say that because I spend a lot of time with couples preparing them for the sacrament of marriage. And I have found, by and large, couples getting married have done a marvelous job to get ready to share a life together. They're truly each other's best friend. They've worked out differences. You know, they've done a really good job in that area. But I think, by and large, young couples getting married have not done a great job to get ready to share a faith life together.
Yes.
For many of them, they're not big into going to church. They believe in God and believe in the Lord. But somehow, when I challenge them to say, you've done a marvelous job to get ready to share a life together, but then the challenge to share a faith together, which means going to church, praying as a couple. And I have found couples who pray together, who go to church together, it enhances their marriage relationship. And I'm sure you could say the same.
Absolutely. In fact, statistics show that couples who pray together on a consistent basis, it's like 1 in 1,000 who get divorced, as opposed to 1 out of 2 who aren't connecting with those faith elements. You know, if God created marriage, and he did, and if God is the source of love, and he is, and we need him, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need him to help us to learn how to be like Christ. And Scripture communicates that we can be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, which is a key element. We need to learn how to be blessed are the peacemakers, which we have to be on a daily basis. And to love an imperfect person unconditionally is not something we do naturally. And so Christ proved that through his death on the cross. He loved us unconditionally when we were sinful, when we deserved it the least. And if we can learn how to do that, it can make a huge difference in our homes.
Stephen, the movie's been out since September. The DVD is about to be released. Give, if you can, a couple of minutes for our audience how we can get copies of the DVD and also of the book.
Fireproof, the DVD, is January 27th, Tuesday. It will be released all across the nation. It'll be in Walmart, Sam's Club, Target, Christian bookstores, Amazon, you name it. Wherever you go, the DVD is going to be available. And we're thrilled because it's going to put it in the hands of the people, and they can then turn around and begin to strengthen their own marriages and the friends who are around them. But we've packed those DVDs with a lot of fun stuff. There's behind-the-scenes elements on how we made the movie, how we prayed through our decisions. We've got the bloopers, the practical jokes that took place on the set. And there's ministry resources on there. There's edited clips ready to go for anybody to use to share with a group or with a church or wherever they are to try to help, or even marriage counselors, that they can use those scenes from the movie to begin to help the marriages around them.
And Stephen, what about purchasing the book?
The Love Dare book is already available. It's been a bestseller on Amazon. It's a New York Times bestseller. And so anywhere you go, you can get the Love Dare book. And we recommend people, we challenge them, go through this book and see what it does for your marriage.
Stephen, thanks for joining us. Stephen Kendrick is the co-writer and producer of the movie Fireproof. The website, if you're interested in finding out more about it, is www.fireprooftheMovie.com. FireprooftheMovie.com. DVD available in stores on January 27th. Book available now. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at CatholicNewWorld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
we've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Time is coming up on 9:35 on this brisk Friday morning here in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University. I love your title, Wayne.
Just call us Siskel and Ebert for this portion of the show.
Hey, when was the last time you saw a movie?
It's been a while, but our guest in this next segment is going to
Gone with the Wind.
Is gonna reveal his secrets.
We have with us by phone Stephen Gradonis, who is the film critic for the National Catholic Register, a member of Online Film Critics Society, and the Faith and Film Critics Circle. He also writes for Christianity Today Movies and Catholic Exchange. Stephen, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Hey, Father Greg. Hey, Wayne.
Good morning.
Great to have you. You are the movie expert, and I have seen one movie in the last 6 months. I saw it this week with my brother, Gran Torino.
Aha. And what did you think of Gran Torino?
I thought it was marvelous.
Well, the Academy didn't go for it.
You know, the thing is, now we think of Clint Eastwood with all these kind of, getting beat up type movies, and there was some fisticuffs and some rough action, but I thought it had a marvelous storyline where those young people humanized Clint Eastwood.
A lot of critics really went for Gran Torino because of the way in which it was seen as a kind of summing up of his career. A lot of the themes and motifs and character elements from different films that he's been in crop up in this film. And so, you know, obviously he is in the twilight of his career. He might make more films, but this film could stand as a kind of a summing up of his career. And the there were people who hoped that the Academy would respond to that, but that doesn't appear to have been the case.
There was rough language, there's no question about that, but it was, you know, the setting was kind of like the street, the gang area.
Now, Stephen, Academy Award nominations came out yesterday. There's a lot of categories, but let's just look at talk about one for a moment. Best Picture, 5 nominations: Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. What do you think of that list?
You know, I didn't find out what the nominations were actually until I got home yesterday, because I was at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. But I was on my way home talking to my wife Suzanne on cell phone when she read me the list, and frankly, I was stunned for two reasons. One is that of the 3 of these 5 films that I've seen, which are The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, and Slumdog Millionaire, I find them all to be good movies, but very far from great movies. I haven't seen Milk or The Reader, but the buzz that I get from critics and friends who have is that they also fit into that category. Now, there are some critics who are going gaga over Milk, and Slumdog Millionaire is also getting some significant critical praise. But nobody really seems to love the other films except for the Academy.
Now, Stephen, let me ask you the question. When you look back on the 80-year history of the Television Academy, and you start to look at some of the list of best pictures that have won, you know, Titanic, Lord of the Rings, real blockbuster productions, is the movie industry still producing, I mean, in the true sense of the word, blockbuster movies today as they were years ago, do you think, or not?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I mean, we live in the age of the blockbuster.
an age that was really defined in the late 70s and early 80s by movies like Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark and to an extent also Jaws. But and this year we've had a couple of blockbusters that are really, really strong movies.
Like what?
Well, the year's number one movie, The Dark Knight, which a lot of people thought was going to be very well received by the Oscars.
Now, why weren't they listed as a possible nominee?
Why didn't The Dark Knight make it into...
Correct.
Okay. Well, nobody really knows but the Academy voters. And a friend of mine, Peter Chataway, has pointed out that The Dark Knight was nominated for a fair list of Oscars, not in the top category. It did get 8 nominations, including one for supporting actor Heath Ledger. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's very hard to say why the Academy voted the way that they did. I guess maybe... The kinds of melodramas that they awarded are just the kind of movies that they like, and they didn't go for a superhero movie, even one as morally serious and genre-redefining as The Dark Knight.
Stephen, you look through a Catholic lens, if you will, in how you view and judge the quality of films today. How would you characterize this list of 5 in that area as compared with the last few years, for example? Are we still pretty much cranking out stuff in Hollywood that is amoral, immoral, or not?
You know, I think that you can always see elements of Hollywood's moral and political lens in the movies that are made and in the movies that are honored. An obvious choice here for that observation would be Gus Van Sant's Milk, which is a biopic of the life of openly gay politician Harvey Milk. The other movies, I'm not really seeing so much moral categories as I am a tendency toward a certain kind of film. And I think that you're absolutely right that I do try to bring a Catholic lens to my work. But I think that the secular critic for the New York Times, A.O. Scott, summed it up very well when he referred to these movies, along with others like Doubt and Revolutionary Road, as, and I'm quoting here, hermetically sealed melodramas of received thinking. You know, these are movies that don't really challenge the way of thinking in Hollywood in any way. You know, you have a movie like Revolutionary Road. What does it say? Life in the suburbs is really bad. You have a movie like Frost Nixon. What does that say? Republican politicians are bad. Milk. What does that say? Gay politicians are good. You know, and so on. It's just these are very conventionally made films.
We'd like to have our listeners maybe jump in on the conversation. 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408, with questions or comments for our movie critic, Stephen Gradonis. Stephen, a question I would have is, why are animated films rarely considered the best picture? I know last week we had a couple of good ones. I mean, I did not see them, but I heard from my nieces and nephews, Kung Fu Panda, WALL-E. I did not see them.
I actually saw WALL-E. I thought it was cute.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I thought you told me the last movie you saw was Jaws.
No, I saw it on an airplane. I thought it was a cute movie. And WALL-E did get a number of recognitions even from the Golden Globes recently.
So what happens with animated? Why is that sometimes seems to be always left off?
Well, in all of Academy history, only one animated film has ever been nominated for Best Picture, and that was in 1991, Beauty and the Beast. I think the Academy made a mistake that year in giving the award to The Silence of the Lambs, which is a very good film, but not as unique and strong as Beauty and the Beast, in my opinion. Animated films are a smaller pool than regular live-action films, and because they're usually seen as family fare, they are thought traditionally to be somewhat more limited in the scope of their ambition and themes and artistic range and so forth. I think Pixar has been beating that theme and that way of thinking all hollow with movies like The Incredibles and Ratatouille, and this year WALL-E, which is just a really strong film by any measure. And I'm glad to see that it was nominated for 6 awards. It's the first animated film in history, as far as I know. My friend Peter Chataway pointed this out on his blog, that could win up to 6 Oscars. There was one other film that did receive 6 nominations, but some of them were in the same category, so it wasn't up for 6 different awards. But I think that there's also just possibly a prejudice against the genre.
John, we're going to go to the phones here. We have Larry from Chicago. Welcome to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Chime right in, Larry. Larry, are you with us? Larry, did we lose you? Okay, I think, Larry, do call back at 312-255-8408 here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. A question I would have, Stephen, is from a Catholic perspective lens, what movies would you recommend for our listeners?
You know, there were a lot of good movies this year, and we've talked about two of them that are very well known, The Dark Knight and WALL-E, obviously for two very different audiences. I would highly recommend WALL-E for family films. I would highly recommend The Dark Knight for mature viewers. It's a very intense film. I've called it The Godfather Part 2 of comic book superhero movies. But there are some other really good movies that came out this year that you might not have heard of, and I would very much like to recommend some of them. High on the list would be a movie called Ostrov, or The Island. Ostrov is the original Russian title. This is not to be confused with The Island that starred Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson. This island, or Ostrov, is set in a Russian Orthodox monastery. It's a haunting, parable-like tale about a guilt-ridden ex-soldier who is taken in at this Orthodox monastery, and he never leaves. It's not clear whether he actually becomes a priest, but he is called Father Anatoly, and he is locally reputed as a holy man. He has spiritual gifts, but like the early Franciscans, he cloaks his spirituality under outrageous behavior. He embodies the archetype well known in Russian literature of the holy fool. The Island is a movie that is deep in the tradition of Russian Orthodox spirituality, and I think that Catholics would really enjoy it.
Okay, and that's not really in the mainstream theaters now, is it?
No, all of these movies that
DVDs.
They're all out on DVD.
Gotcha.
And Ostrov is available on DVD.
Okay, let's go to the phone. Larry from Chicago, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, Larry.
Larry, there.
Did we lose you again, Larry?
Yes, hello.
Good morning, Larry. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. And your question or comment for our movie critic, Stephen Gradanis?
Well, Stephen, the biggest comment that I have is that it seems like Hollywood still has their own underlying agenda, that unless you have their particular agenda at hand when you do produce and distribute a movie, that movie, as good as it may be, will not hit the mainstream. And the critics, unfortunately, don't support the good, wholesome type movies that could be produced out here. They're always, you know, as an example, I use, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. You know, very funny movie. However, there is a hidden agenda there that I don't believe in. And unfortunately, Hollywood did produce this, and we're unfortunately saddled with looking at a film that has a really particularly gay agenda.
Stephen, do you agree with that? Is there still a wall, if you will, an agenda that really has to be broken through for a movie to really hit the mainstream?
Well, it depends on what you mean by hit the mainstream. I mean, we're talking here about the Academy Awards, and I do think that there's a bias in the Academy in favor of films with left-leaning politics, including attitudes that go against our Catholic faith, such as on the Church's teaching on homosexuality. That obviously goes to the Academy's favor for a movie like Milk, which never didn't exactly make the mainstream in terms of box office earnings. It might explain the Academy snub to a movie like The Dark Knight, which could be seen as a conservative movie in certain respects. You know, The Dark Knight, yeah. Batman, he's fighting a war on terror, and he engages in tactics that have become very controversial under the Bush administration, such as illegal wiretapping and torture and so forth. I think that the movie is very ambiguous as to whether these things are good or bad, but it could be seen as a conservative movie.
Now, Stephen, another movie that's out there that has a Catholic theme to it right now, actually, is a nominee for Best Supporting Actor in Philip Seymour Hoffman, is Doubt.
Yes.
Talk to us about Doubt. Good to see, bad to see from a Catholic lens.
You know, Doubt is a movie that I come to, obviously, with a lot of suspicion and concern. The subject matter, a priest who is suspected of child abuse, is obviously it's rife with potential for anti-Catholic ideology. I found Doubt to be a reasonably well-made and not Catholic-bashing movie. It's not a movie about a priest who did something bad. It's a movie about suspecting that a priest has done something bad and how you deal with uncertainty and what is... It goes to questions that I think maybe have not had enough attention paid to them, like what is due process? When are you railroading somebody? Or what about zero tolerance and taking direct action against someone on the basis of an accusation that might not even be plausible or that hasn't been looked into?
Okay, so not a bad thing for an adult Catholic to see.
That's my take on it.
Okay. So it seems to raise the right questions and the right issues. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith. I first of all want to thank our listener or caller from a few minutes ago, Larry, for your comment and your call. 9:50 a.m. on Relevant Radio here in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majar. Stay with us. Number 312-255-8408.
Are you pro-life? Do you want to connect with like-minded individuals and learn more about changing the culture? Join us on Saturday, January 31st for Speak Out Illinois' Rekindle the Fire, an annual conference sponsored by more than 30 pro-life groups from across the state of Illinois. Father Tom Eitenauer, president of Human Life International, will engage the audience as he reports on the fight for life around the world. Hear the moving testimony of Dr. Alveda King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and director of African American Outreach for Gospel of Life. A separate conference for teens will also be offered. For questions or to register, call Illinois Right to Life at 312-422-9300 or go to www.speakoutillinois.org. We hope to see you on Saturday, January 31st at 9 a.m. for Speak Out Illinois.
Democracy is a wonderful thing. But how many of us really take part in exercising the freedoms we are so blessed to have in this country? Now here's your chance to let your voice be heard.
Wednesday, March 4th is Catholics at the Capitol Day. The Catholic Conference of Illinois invites you to join hundreds of Catholics in Springfield as we talk to lawmakers about key faith-based issues.
Let's push for legislation to decrease abortions, protect traditional marriage, support Catholic charities, hospitals, and nursing homes, and to get our Catholic schools the financial support they deserve.
1,000 Catholic school children, Cardinal George, our bishops, clergy, and laity will descend on Springfield. Join us.
Visit CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or call 312-368-1066 for details. That's CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or 312-368-1066.
We hope to see you in Springfield on Wednesday, March 4th for Catholics at the Capitol Day. Let's live our democracy.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Stephen Gradamus, who is film critic for the National Catholic Register, among other things, is our guest for this segment of the program. Stephen, before you joined us this morning, we were talking with the writer and co-producer of a film, Fireproof. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
What'd you think of it?
Fireproof is from the producers of Facing the Giants, which was an evangelically produced sports movie. This is a very small independent film company that got started up around a Baptist church, and it's largely amateur produced work. The actors, for the most part, are not professional actors, although they do have some talent behind the camera. And I think that their movies are getting better over time. Fireproof is a It doesn't really compete with Hollywood films in terms of the production values and the writing and so forth. But if you look at it at what it is, which a friend of mine, Peter Chataway, has called a kind of glorified church pageant, I think that it compares pretty favorably.
Okay. All right.
It has some edifying themes, and it is possibly worth a watch.
Which I know Fireproof is out on DVD. Question, Stephen, is two movies. One, I have not seen either one of them. Defiance, and the other movie, help me out. It's the movie with the attempted assassination on
Valkyrie.
That's it, Velcro. I can think of Velcro and I just do one Velcro. Talk to us about both.
I have not seen either of these movies. There's another Nazi movie out there called Good, which was pretty much ignored by everybody. And then there's The Reader. That's the film that that did get a Best Picture and Director nomination. I actually haven't seen any of these World War II dramas.
Well, let me ask you this. In the last couple of minutes, what would be your top three movies for our listeners from a Catholic lens that they have to go see?
Okay.
In the next coming months?
I've already mentioned Ostrov. Mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend Young at Heart. This is a documentary about a senior citizens chorus group called Young at Heart. And what's funny about them is that they sing rock and roll, but it is a very moving drama that really speaks powerfully to the end-of-life experience and old age, and I highly recommend that from a Catholic point of view, Young at Heart.
Is Young at Heart right now in the theater?
No, these are since we're
talking, gone.
Yes, these are all movies that are out on DVD.
Got it.
They were released in the year 2008, so they're like the movies that mm-hmm. the Academy has just nominated. And to pick a third film, I would recommend the romantic comedy Ghost Town, which not since Groundhog Day have I seen a high concept romantic comedy that so successfully blends entertainment and redemptive uplift. Just like Groundhog Day, you have a comedian, in this case English funny man, Rick Gervais, as a dentist who's very antisocial but with dry wit. And he gets a paranormal cross to carry in that he sees ghosts and they want something from him, and he has to learn to be a less selfish person in order to resolve his situation.
Stephen, so, as you describe all of these movies, it inevitably is followed by the message is, or the theme is. That's an important piece of what makes a motion picture in these days successful. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. And that message or that theme through the lens that you look at it is out there. While there's a lot of, if I may use the word, junk out there that Hollywood is producing, there's also a lot of stuff that is quality that isn't necessarily bad if you're a Catholic to go and see.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you look at the teaching of our church on the arts in general, on culture and on the movies, this is very clear that our church does embrace what is valid and worthwhile in culture and the movies. By the way, I'm going to be posting my 2008 roundup and top 10 at Decent Films later today. So if listeners want to catch up with those three films or any others, you'll be able to find that.
And what is your webpage?
That's decentfilms.com.
Decentfilms.com is going to come up a little later on today. And thing is now, the movie, I have not seen it, Tropic Thunder, managed to get at least one nomination. Any socially redeeming value to this movie in your eyes?
You know, I have a DVD from Netflix of Tropic Thunder at home. I have not yet gotten around to watching it. But so, Robert Downey Jr. got that nomination. He had a pretty good year. I do recommend his other film this past year, Iron Man, a fun movie, superhero origin story that is also, to get back to the moral theme, it's a kind of a conversion story.
All right, now we're going to put you on the spot. Your pick for Best Picture given the five nominees.
Given the five nominees, I guess I'd have to go with Slumdog Millionaire. It's the only one that I find really interesting.
And tell us about that movie a bit.
This is a movie from Danny Boyle. It's set in India, so it has a slight Bollywood influence, but it's certainly not a traditional Bollywood film. It's a movie about a young poor boy in India who gets on the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and by circumstance happens to know the answers to the questions. He becomes the subject of a police interrogation. There is some rough content in this movie. It is rated R for a reason. It's not, as I say, a great movie, but I think it's a good movie.
All right, we're going to remember your pick. If you're wrong, you're never coming back on the show again.
your last time on Catholic Community of Faith. Now, just in the last minute, Stephen, give us a list of maybe two or three movies that you would ask or tell our listeners, don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time with Religulous, a completely ignorant and rabble-rousing attack on religion from Bill Maher. Don't waste your time with The Spirit, superhero movie from Frank Miller, just one of the worst things ever produced. Gosh, there have been so many, but I came here prepared to talk about two movies.
Top two. Well, we have to bring this program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way our guest the last 20 minutes, Stephen Gradonis, who is the film critic for the National Catholic Register. He's a member of the Online Film Critics Society and the Faith and Film Critics Circle. and writes for Christianity Today Movies and Catholic Exchange. You've been a marvelous guest. I also want to say special thank you to Wayne Majors. Again, I'm great being teaming up with you again, Wayne, this morning. And thank you also to our producers, Diane Dunnigan and Jim Dish, and to our engineer, Michael May, for another outstanding program. To our listeners, have a very blessed, blessed weekend, and God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.